Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on films and TV shows. And today we have a double feature talking about Bob's Burgers, the movie, and later on, The Bad Guys.
That's right, Andrew. We have jumped ship to the animated world of Bob's Burgers and The Bad Guys. We're going to start with Bob's Burgers, the movie, or is it called I think it's called the Bob's Burgers movie. 13 seasons this show has been on, which is crazy to me. I feel like it just came out yesterday. Andrew's a fan. He's seen every season. I watched almost two seasons within the last couple of weeks just to kind of get affiliated with it. I've enjoyed the show. I think it's heartwarming. It's got some good comedy. It's kind of like something it's just chill. You put it on in the background. You know, you don't have to.
It's not the worst thing that you could watch. It's pretty good.
I enjoy it. Andrew, do you like the Bob's Burgers TV show?
The TV show, definitely. I feel like it's... I remember getting caught into this show by accident. It was like a long time ago. My mom would just have the TV on, and like out of nowhere, the show would just be playing, and we would just be watching it together. So it felt pretty cool that I was able to get into that. And when the movie came out, or the movie was announced, like, oh, shoot. Like, nice. Let's do this. It was cool.
Yeah, of all the animated shows out there, you know, nowadays, like Rick and Morty, you know, they talk about what else? South Park, Family Guy, and I feel like Bob's Burgers most closely reminds you of The Simpsons in a way. It's just, it's not too raunchy, or, you know, it's got a lot of good family humor and a lot of heart. So I've enjoyed watching it. This movie comes out after 13 seasons of the show, which still is mind-blowing to me. It was originally produced by Fox, and then Disney bought them, and now it's finally released in theaters. Give you a quick plot summary. There's a water main that ruptures in front of the Bob's Burgers shop. It blocks the entrance and, you know, it ruins their plans for the summer. So Bob and Linda struggle to keep the business afloat. The kids try to solve a mystery that we'll talk about later that could save their family's restaurant. And they just kind of help each other and, you know, things happen. You know, it's a Bob's Burgers movie. So, you know, what was interesting is I actually saw this last night. It was around 10:30 p.m.
Super late.
Yeah, super late. But, you know, we had to do it for the pod. Gotta do it for the pod, man. So I checked out the movie. It was on quite a big screen, too. I'm surprised it wasn't one of the smaller ones. But anyway, left the theater around 12:30 midnight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really late for this film. But I remember when I walked out, there was some noise like in these bushes across from like the doors, and I kind of like looked to my right, and I'm like, what is that? It's like a little like mice or a rat or something. And can you believe like a possum just like poked its head out of the bushes?
Okay.
But I was like 10, 15 feet away from it. So I don't think it saw me, but it looked like it looked at me. And then I looked back at the possum, and then it went back into the bushes. And that was infinitely more exciting than anything that was in the Bob's Burgers movie.
Oh my god.
What fucking garbage was this? You know,
don't I liked say the show. That.
It was chill. It had heart. It was funny and clever. This movie made me never want to watch the show again. I'm like, wow, like, this is it?
It could not have been that bad.
You're given $60 million, and this is the biggest piece of trash that you could possibly have put out. I mean, okay, it's not the worst thing ever. It was funny at times. There were some heartwarming scenes. I chuckled, but it was boring. It was boring. There was no reason for this to be a movie. It was boring, 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 and I could not wait for it to end. That's my quick thoughts on it before we get into details. Andrew,
Jesus,
what did you think of the movie?
That's the harshest I've ever heard you talk about any movie that we've been reviewing this whole time. Man, you even praised Sonic more than you did this one, and that's saying something. Wow, okay. Well, I actually enjoyed it. I had a great time with it. I think this movie was a great depiction of a family. I think I loved that they had a family issue, like paying back the bank. It was like, it was real life problems. And I think this whole show is about family and staying close together. And I think that is crucial to the entire theme of the whole series. And they brought that over into this movie. And I thought that was pretty heartwarming to see that Linda was always there for Bob, and mm-hmm. Bob realizes his faults and he decides, you know, to change the way that he is. And as well as the kids are looking after their parents in their own way, which is, I think, is very, very selfless and very wholesome. There's a lot of parts in this movie that I feel like did not need to be in it. I think sometimes, or just, I think some scenes were crammed in there just for the, just to reach the time limit.
Literally, just to fill up
yeah.
the time.
Yeah. And I think it was good. I don't know, man. I had fun. That's all I could really say off the bat.
But okay, so to play devil's advocate, like everything you explained about it being about real problems, the family, and all that's all in the show. So why do they make it? Why do they need to make a movie about it?
So that was my whole thing.
I've been reading people's comments about the movie, and like, oh, it was so nice to see Bob's Burgers movie on the big screen. It's like, oh, finally, like it was a movie. Like, if you like the show, you like this. It's like, does this need to be a movie? It just kind of felt like the creators told some executives, like, hey, you know, we've had 13 seasons in the show. Like, let's do a movie. Let's do a movie. And they gave him a big budget, and they just did a movie just for the hell of it. It's like, did they need to make this? Did you ever watch the Simpsons movie?
So that I was going to go into that in a bit, but I was going to piggyback off you real fast and say, like, yeah, I agree that this movie did not need to happen. If you remember at the end of their most recent season, for anyone out there who has seen the show, the last two episodes of their most recent season were broken up into part one and part two, and I feel like this movie could have easily done that as a TV show, just Absolutely. Broken up into two parts, maybe even a third part if they really, really wanted to. There was so much unnecessary things, and the fact that Bob's Burgers got a movie first than Family Guy kind of just throws me off, saying I think Family Guy deserves an actual theoretical movie first than actual Bob's Burgers. There's more they could do than these guys.
It's probably too late.
Still, it's too. I don't know. I think Family Guy could still come out with something good, but all in all, it is what it is, and I don't know. That's all we could say.
I didn't want to derail the point with The Simpsons. The reason I wanted to bring up The Simpsons movie real quick is like, okay, you have this show. It's been on the air for however many seasons it was, I think, before they made a movie. You have to make something that's different than the show. Otherwise, why is it a movie? So right off the bat, I remember in The Simpsons movie, there was a big, you know, interesting plot. There was that funny Bart scene with his wiener and all that. And the audience, like, you know, was howling with laughter. We were captured. Yeah. We were into it. And I oftentimes praise movies for not necessarily having this big or epic world-ending scale. But if you're an animated sitcom that has like a 22-minute runtime for every show, you kind of need some big stakes. And the story in this movie, it's like, okay, there's an interesting setup to it. But it just felt like a TV show. As you were mentioning, this was, what, 102 minutes long? How long was this movie? It was 102 minutes.
Like hour 45? No?
I just checked right now. 102 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Which is four times the length of one of the regular episodes. And that's what it felt like. It just felt like there was so much pointless things in this. Let's get into spoilers. But, my overall thing is, listen, if you love the show, like, you're a huge fan, you're going to like this. But you don't have to go see it in theaters. Just wait for it to come out on streaming. If you're not a fan, if you go on like Twitter and like Reddit and stuff, there'll be advertisements for the movie, and they'll be like, oh, you don't need to have seen the Bob's Burgers movie the show to have enjoyed the movie. That's a lie. You will not like, this is not a good movie in that sense.
One thing I'll disagree with you on: if you are a fan of the show, go watch the movie. Support the creators, support the actors. Yeah, go watch it. Enjoy it. Have a good time, because it's exactly what you expect from, you know, what you've seen already in the show. Yeah,
support the show if you're a big fan. I just mean, if you're just, yeah, I don't know, you strapped for cash, there's no rush to see. I can't imagine someone not being a fan of this and just being like, wow, that was great. You know, but I'll still watch the show here and there, because I've enjoyed it. But yeah, this movie, I could not wait for it to end.
I love at the beginning when the movie first started, the 20th Century Fox intro was like the Bob's Burgers theme kind of tune. Yeah, that was a nice touch to it. Yeah, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
The animation, though, you and I talked about that quite a bit, how like it is totally different than the actual show. I feel like they had to increase the quality just so people could kind of recognize that, oh, we're watching a movie, not just mm-hmm. a TV episode. But to me, it kind of threw me off. I would have liked the TV quality animation for the movie.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that because I've only seen, like I said, two of the first two seasons. So I wasn't sure, like, oh, is this what it looks like in season 10, 11, or 12? Like, does it really get this much better? But then I read some comments online, like you mentioned, that, yeah, you know, it was a little jarring at times. And I kind of agree. Like, for me, I do wish it was just regular Bob's Burgers animation. but I kind of get why they had to do it. You know, they are putting it on the big screen. It has to look good. But it looked kind of like mm-hmm. weirdly 3D at times. I couldn't tell.
You know, yeah. I agree. Yeah, that's kind of what I felt too. It something about it was kind of off. I feel like if it ever comes onto streaming, like on Hulu, I'll have to take a look at it again because it's something was different.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. Let's get into spoilers real quick.
Uh-huh.
So if you haven't seen the movie, we'll start talking about plot points. Actually, you know what? Before I do that, I got to make another rant.
Okay, go for it.
It's not related to the movie. So,
oh, I know where this is going. Go ahead.
So do people just, you know, is COVID just not a thing anymore? I'm trying to figure that out because there was a couple sitting a couple rows behind me, no pun intended, and every like 2 minutes they were just like, just like kind of coughing, and I'm like, oh, you know, my guy's got some popcorn stuck in his throat. No big deal. The guy. First couple of times, but then it kept doing it. And it wasn't like a wet cough, to be fair. It was like a dry cough. Maybe they had COVID a couple of weeks. I don't really know. I moved. I was already far away from them, but I moved even further. But it's just like, COVID aside, it's Sunday night. It's like 10 p.m. Do you really need to come see a movie, let alone the Bob's Burgers movie? Like, if you go to see Top Gun, you know, I kind of give you some credit for it. But did you really need to come? Did you have to come see this when you have like a cough like every 3 minutes? Going off, they left halfway, both of them. It was so weird, and then they came back like 15 minutes later. So I don't know, did they go to the car, like, get some cough drops or what it was? They coughed less in the second half of the movie, but I don't know, it was just kind of annoying. It's like, listen, if you're coughing, just don't come to the movie theater. There's so many options at home. I will give you my Disney Plus login, I'll give you my Netflix login. COVID aside, just don't come to the movie theaters if you're coughing and you sound sick. Just don't do it.
Definitely depends on where you live. COVID either exists or it doesn't.
Yeah, we're not gonna get into that. All right, Andrew, with that said, spoilers for the Bob's Burgers movie. So we talked about how they set it up with the whole the sinkhole yep. coming in and yep. Crashing and all that. And it's a murder mystery movie involving, I don't know, the mayor or the dude's name who owns all the shops. Has this story been done before in the show, or was this kind of like the first time they did something like this?
Well, I'm kind of going to jump all the way to the end of the movie, and then we'll come right back to the beginning. So for those of you who've seen it, you know what the ending is. When they put up that reopening sign on their store. So to answer your question, mm-hmm. a yes and a no. So we've never been given like the details or really the reasoning or really an episode of why they've reopened so many times. So we know they reopened once because I think there was a fire in the building. Second time, there was like rats. A third time, I think someone like crashed in their restaurant.
So that's the fourth time. I'm sorry. That's all in the intro, right? The intro clips.
I know what you're talking about. But yeah, so that's pretty much the only explanation that we're given as to like why they've reopened so many times.
I see.
So yeah, so technically, this is kind of brand new. That giving us this kind of story. But one thing that did surprise me, like you said, this was kind of a murder mystery, but also so randomly a musical. Just songs everywhere. But there was only... I don't know why that fit.
Well, isn't the show... I remember when I was watching the show, some people say, oh, they don't like the musical stuff. But I feel like the jingles in the show, they're each like 30 seconds long. And they never really... I don't know if that changes in future seasons. But in this movie... I think there was only three songs, but they were each really long. It's like the movie didn't know, like, does it want to be a full musical? Does it want to be a murder mystery? It was super jarring, like, how long some of those sequences went for.
I wonder whose idea that would have been, too, whether it's H. John that had the idea to make it, like, mostly all songs. Because I don't know if the studio would allow something like that, but I guess, again, like, the studio probably has, like, very little control over what they do for the show.
I don't think there was much studio interference for this, because if there was studio interference, they would have picked it up and thrown it in the trash and rewritten the entire script.
The creator, what's his last name again? It's H. John Benjamin. H. John Benjamin.
The creator is Lauren Bouchard.
The voice of Bob's.
The lead for Bob.
Yeah, Bob Belcher, H. John Benjamin. What's really funny about him, though, is that he's super into music. So a little fact for you guys. If you guys are curious, H. John Benjamin, he created a jazz album. And I highly, highly recommend all of you to go to YouTube and check out his jazz album. Because he doesn't know how to play jazz music. So he has songs on his album literally called I Can't Play Piano Part 1, 2, 3 and 4.
So it's not good.
It's the funniest thing you ever hear. It's really good because it's bad. Aziz Ansari makes a cameo as like on his album, like doing some, you know, voice work. But I recommend all of you check out H. John Benjamin's jazz album. It's really funny.
Yeah, I gotta check that out. You think H. John Benjamin is now known as Bob Belcher? Because
rather than Archer,
he's always been Archer to me.
It's so interesting because if you listen to Archer and Bob, their voices are like distinguishably different.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean. It's like very subtle, but you can tell the difference. But
a little different. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I think is pretty cool about it, is I don't know if it's like a in post kind of thing or actually him doing it, but that's nice.
He's a little like deeper and more mature in Bob's Burgers. I feel in Archer he's a little more whiny. It's super impressive. I think all the voice actors in Bob's Burgers, especially in the movie, gave fantastic performances. Like,
oh my god,
I just love how each character, I know this is like, well, duh, it's animated, but like, I don't get this from every other show, but each character has like their own distinct voice and style, the way they speak and all that. Yeah. It's really well done. So like the way, like, you could just watch a couple episodes and feel like you know like what every character is about. So all of the character moments in this movie, especially the ones like when they were all together, were the best parts of this movie. I love that. Yep. When they were not together, when the parents were separated from the kids, I know that happens a lot in the show, but I liked all the moments when they were like chit-chatting and going off each other. But those were the best parts, in my opinion.
I think Gene's character is so funny because he's the one who does all the quippy replies. I remember there was that one scene where Luis takes that tooth from the skeleton and then Gene out of nowhere just says, "You can't handle the tooth." And I thought that was just so random and it made me laugh so hard. That's so clever.
The scene when the teeth from the skeleton, like, that made me gag in the theater. I don't want to talk about it, but it was just kind of like, I wasn't expecting that. It's like, I feel gross. I'm going to throw up just watching this
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff was like fun, but it was fun to what's the little girl's name? Luis.
There's Luis with the hat, and there's Tina with the glasses. Tina, you know, Gene.
So what's the age? So who's the oldest? Tina.
I think they said they're all in eighth grade. I think they said, or like,
really?
They're all around the same. Wow, now you got me. Are they trumped up on Bob's Burgers?
Haven't you seen 13 seasons of this show?
Hey! Don't come at me.
This is what I mean. Bob's Burgers is good. Tell me I'm wrong. It's a background show.
Uh huh.
It's like something you put on while you're doing the chores or you're on your phone or something like that. Okay. You don't have to be locked in to enjoy the show. I feel like some shows you really have to be locked in, but this is so like, nah.
So Gene is 11. And then Tina is the oldest at 13.
Makes sense.
And then we have Luis at 9. And okay, there we go.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I would not have remembered that at all.
Yeah, Luis. Because I was thinking, like, because you know, when she was getting bullied by those kids, it looked like she was the youngest, but she's like the ringleader. She's always the one getting them into trouble. Andrew, you touched on the music, so you didn't like the musical scenes as a longtime fan. I thought you would have enjoyed those.
Yeah. I like the first one when they're singing it in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I did not like the last one when the bad guy starts doing that long musical. I could not stand it. I was like, when is it over? I like the carnies though. That one was fun.
The carny one was it was fun, but I think because I was just kind of wanted to see like, okay, well, what's the point of this scene? You know, what is this gonna reveal? It just wasn't really like moving it for me, but I did enjoy like the Carneys had a lot of good, like, comedic humor. I thought this was, you know, it made me chuckle, like, multiple times throughout the film. So I did enjoy that part of it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep saying bug, because I want to get into, like, digging into what I didn't like. But I feel like I covered that already enough.
Hold on. We got plenty more to go through first.
Got a lot of Bob's Burgers haters already. You know, there was one
they
thing.
They have a
you know
loyal fan base.
My favorite thing. What was that?
They have a loyal fan base. Like, Bob's Burgers, like
I know.
Everyone would dress up as, like, Tina or Louise for, like, Halloween. It's very, very, like, a cult that they have.
Did you know, like, there was, like, 10 years ago or so, I wanted to dress up as Bob Belcher for Halloween because I had no idea. I'm like, oh, that looks easy.
Oh, yeah.
Just put a mustache on. I went to, obviously, I'm a procrastinator. I went to the store, like, five of them, and I couldn't find any aprons. I had everything I needed. I just couldn't find a damn apron to be Bob Belcher. So I just went to this Halloween party. I had a mustache on, and I just looked really weird. just me and a mustache and like a white t-shirt. It's like, all right, yeah. I'm here to play some board games. Let's do this.
I think that goes hand in hand though with what you were talking about of whether H. John Benjamin will be known for. I think because of how like a hold that Bob's Burgers has on pop culture, I think he will always be known as Bob Belcher.
Do you think some of the popularity for like Bob's Burgers, you mentioned like, you know, it's a hardcore fan base. Do you think it's because Bob's Burgers has never been that popular? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's never been on the Simpsons level or the Family Guy level,
yeah.
Or even Rick and Morty levels. So, like, the people who like it, like, they kind of like they want to hold on to it so tightly because they feel like it's not appreciated as much. That seems to happen a lot with like fan bases. It's like they realize that it's not as popular as other shows, and because of that, it's like they feel a little more connected to it, and it's like, no, this show is so great. People are missing out. Like, it's such a shame because 13 seasons, it's not as popular as you would think. Am I wrong in saying that?
You're totally right, and that's one thing I was gonna say. Like, that's an interesting like nitpick that you figured out, but a good nitpick because it's true. People wanna feel unique and special in their own way, and so when they find a show that no one really knows about or talks about, they wanna be like the biggest supporters of it. I feel like for a long time, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was an example of that. It was like a show that not many people knew about, like at the very early seasons, but everyone just loved talking about Andy Samberg and then Terry Crews, and like that was like their thing. And then as it got more mainstream, people were like, oh, okay, time to move on.
I had that with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think when it was first like coming out, I still love it, obviously, but I just mean the first like three or four seasons or so, I'm like, oh my god, this is like the greatest comedy show ever. More people need to love this. I was like the biggest fan, you know, but now it's like on season 14 and 15. I haven't watched the last couple of seasons. You just gotta get over it.
One day, I'll show all of you guys a video of where Santi and I are at San Diego Comic Con, and we do this was an AR experience with Sunny. I still have that video.
Oh my god!
We're like dancing in the background with the characters of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. One day, I'll show you guys
when we reach like 10,000 plays on the podcast per month.
Then you guys will deserve it.
10,000 a month, you guys will deserve it. Then, I thought. The best parts of this movie, Andrew, was Bob and Linda, and who's like their funny like homeless friend.
So it's funny because he has like it's funny enough that he has a huge crush on Linda.
I can tell.
I think it's
Calvin, right? No. Yeah. So Uncle Teddy, I thought like him and Bob and Linda and making that push cart and all that was really interesting. Was it related to the plot at all? Nope. But it was fun. It was just kind of interesting to see them go through those challenges. And I just found that interaction a lot more funny than what the kids were doing with Calvin Fishoder or whatever his name is. So I really enjoyed that. Any scene with Bob is just fun. Is that just me? Or just like anytime he's on the screen, he's talking. It's like just because of his voice, the things he says, I'm like, yeah, this is funny to me.
Just this constant state of anxiety and fear of anything going on.
Yeah.
I think with Bob, I think it's pretty funny. For me, what was that we going to say? Like, those are your favorite parts of the movie?
Well, the part where he's like, for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He's just always like stressed. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I think for me, my favorite part of the whole movie was that stakeout gone bad when they're in the car with him. And everyone, and was it the bikers come out saying, "Oh, hey, And it's like, I'm not on a stakeout.
With the
like,
cop?
With the cop. It's like, great. Your light's still on top of your car, and your coffee mug says your name. And that was...
It just kept being things when it was coming out. Yeah. It was like, that whole cop, when he was just sitting there, and they try to, like, I think it was Luis tries to edge him on. He's like, oh, you're not in homicide. That's why. He's like, well, I know things. I know things. Yeah, the voice acting is tremendous.
Amazing. One thing I'm kind of sad they left out to a lot of was a lot of Jimmy Pesta. Or Pesto. I think we should have seen a lot more of him. For obviously, those of you that know, Jimmy Pesto is like Bob's arch enemy of like the fast food, because like they're always battling it out.
Do you not know, Andrew? Do you not know?
What?
Okay. So story time. So I thought the same thing, because even though I've barely watched Bob's Burgers, I noticed hey, this Jimmy Pesto guy is pretty funny. He keeps showing up and he's involved in the show and all that. Why was he like in the background in the first 5 minutes and never seen again?
Yeah.
So... Yeah. There's a Mr. Jimmy Pesto's voice actor. I think his name is like Jay Johnston or something.
Okay.
At some point, the FBI puts a picture on Twitter. It says, "Hey, we're looking to still identify these people from the January 6th insurrection."
Oh my God! Hold on,
I'm not there yet. So the FBI tweets this out. The FBI, and it's a picture of this guy. He's like kind of like yelling, and then in the second picture, he has a mask on. And some random account retweets it. And it's like, that kind of looks like Jay Johnston. And it was Jay Johnston.
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah, so he's banned from Bob's Burgers. He is banned from Bob's Burgers because of he got arrested or fined by the FBI or whatever. A very Jimmy Pesto thing to do.
Very, very close to his character. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's so fun. Because I was looking at like people's reviews, and some people mentioned, it was too bad they couldn't have Jimmy Pesto in it because of, you know, the FBI. I'm like, what? You know? I'm like, what does that have anything to do with it? It's just so funny because a random Twitter account was what figured out that, like, that kind of looks like him. But they didn't know, and then later people confirmed it, and I don't know what the FBI did. Imagine how that one
Twitter user feels like outing one of like a beloved character.
I know. Yeah, Jimmy Pesto's hilarious. I think he's one of the funniest characters in the show as well.
It's hilarious. So I was like, okay, like you mentioned, he was in the background for the beginning when the pothole happened. Like they're all excited. Wow, okay. Interesting. Now you got me all thinking, but cool. All right, real fast though, who is your favorite character of the entire series?
Okay, it's Bob Belcher.
100%.
If I didn't have to pick Bob Belcher, I don't know too many of the names. I think Tina's pretty funny.
Tina, yeah.
Yeah, but it's Bob for me for sure.
For me, I'll say Linda. I think Linda's character for me is. I love how she constantly supports Bob like in every way possible, and I think that's an example of a woman that you want in your life, just someone that never gives up on you and goes through literally the darkest times with you. I love that.
Doesn't she totally like have a crush on Jimmy Pesto though?
She's a loyal woman. Leave her alone. she would never do that to Bob.
Bob, you gotta flip the burgers on the grill. Yeah, no, she's like I said, every character really stands out. It's hard to pick one, but I think John Benjamin as Bob just makes me laugh. Just has that kind of voice.
Real fast, before we get into the things that we disliked about this movie, I just want to say that I think another hilarious scene that had me cracking up was and the car chase towards the end when they're going through all those horses and you just hear Tina yelling in terror. I think that was just hilarious because she loves horses. Like, that's her thing.
Oh, does she?
That's her whole thing. She loves horses. So when they were just killing all of them, the plastic ones, it was hilarious.
Yeah. The ones underneath the pier. Right? She's like, I was trying to figure out why she's like so sad. She's like, no.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
That stuff was really good, yeah.
But okay, let's jump into the things that we didn't like. Obviously, there's a lot for you, so let me know.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it simple. I felt the movie was pointless. This could have been a couple episodes, like you mentioned, a part one and part two. There was no need for this to be stretched out to as long as it was. The way I see it, 102 minutes, if this was like 75 to 80 minutes, I would have enjoyed it more. I kind of get it that people, they say, oh, it's only 80 minutes long, I'm not going to go see that in theaters. So they do have to make it longer. It just didn't need to be longer. This could have been way more tight. A couple other things, just I felt like a lot of the scenes were just drawn out. They went to stalk that guy's brother at his treehouse and like find some clues. And it was just like 10 minutes. I was like, okay, they're going to get some information and go. Like, why is this taking so long? And then the submarine underground bunker scene, it was like, oh, not just the song felt long. That wasn't even the issue. It was just the whole thing was just so, they were down there for like 20 minutes of the movie. And it's like, come on, let's move on. Let's get this thing going. So the way I see it, if you got to make a movie for Bob's Burgers, it needs to have a better story than this. Otherwise, it's completely, there's no point to it. You know, what's the theme? You know, are they saying that, was it about Luis being brave? Beyond that, it just felt like an extended episode of the show in a way. I get why fans would love it and have a good time with it, but it just felt pointless to me.
That's fair, totally fair. So there's not much I could say personally about what I disliked about it. It just felt like a prolonged episode, as we keep saying over and over again. Was it completely bad? Me personally, no. Would I watch it again? I'm probably not. Yeah, but I think for sure, like, that whole bit with the alien, the UFO that didn't want to talk to humans, you know, that whole scene didn't need to happen either. I feel like there was a lot of unnecessary shots that could have just been easily cut out. Like you mentioned, when they're going to the treehouse, mm-hmm. and there's, like, that entire 10-minute bit where they're trying not to be seen, I feel like they could have cut that way shorter.
Yeah.
But of course, they had to
fill the time. But that's not good. I'm saying that, hey, you know, just write the movie however long it's to be. If it's 85 minutes, that's fine. But believe it or not, it doesn't really matter what I think, because this movie has really good reviews. It has like an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 75 on Metacritic, which is crazy to me. A lot of the fans seem to like it, but you know, between you and me, Andrew, and between anyone else listening, I think they just like it because it's Bob's Burgers, and they're like, oh, we don't want to like go against the show. We'll like anything they put out. But it's, you know, as a Bob's Burgers fan, I can see why you would enjoy it. I would too. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but I just didn't see why it needed to be made. That's ultimately what it comes down to for me. Just the story is just no stakes, no scale. It's a murder mystery, but the murder itself is never really that interesting. You know, the clues they find are never really that interesting. So you're just kind of there to enjoy the small character moments between all the different characters. And I think it's unfortunate that all the family was like separate for so much of the film, because when they're together is when the movie really shines, especially towards the end when they're in the car and they're trapped and all that.
With that put together, what would you give this movie out of 5 tickets? What would you give it?
Yeah, I would give this movie 2 out of 5 tickets. Which is unfortunately, it's unfortunately my lowest score on the Tickets for Two podcast so far. Like I said, it's not the worst thing you'll ever see. It's just more Bob's Burgers. And for a lot of people, that's a good thing. That's good enough. It's not good enough for me, unfortunately. You need to be a little bit more than just be a movie to appease to fans. And, you know, looking at the $60 million budget, it's not going to make back maybe half of that by the end of it, maybe less. So it's definitely doesn't have the appeal to regular moviegoers as well. But beyond the finances, I just felt like it fell short into really wowing me, into even being enjoyable to a certain extent, because it just felt really drawn out and pointless at times. So unfortunately, 2 tickets out of 5. Andrew, what's your score?
That's unfortunate. So I remember watching the Simpsons movie a long time ago, and that movie did have a higher stakes, so the whole dome, the whole being trapped and, you know, escaping all this, and that's good and all, but I think that fits their kind of story, their kind of characters. I feel like with Bob's Burgers, this fit well. Did a movie need to happen? No, but the story that we were given, I feel like, was spot on, perfect for this show to begin with. So I think this movie had a perfect mix of family values, a lot of sincerity, basic comedy, but delivers everything that you would expect from a typical Bob's Burgers episode, and I'm satisfied with that. And I give it a 3 out of 5 personally. I think it deserves a good how would you say, just I don't know, you feel happiness watching the movie.
It's not dark. It's not too gloomy, and all that. I totally appreciate all of that, and I'll continue watching the show here and there for sure.
Well, that's our score for the Bob's Burgers episode. Thank you very much, everybody, and let's move on to the next one.
Hey, you, get over here. And this is the crew, Mr. Angela, Mr. Shark, Mr. Piranha, Mr. Snake.
All good, brother?
All good, yeah, yeah.
All right, now we begin our second review on The Bad Guys.
That's right, Andrew. The Bad Guys is a sort of animated Ocean's 11 is the best way I would describe it. After a lifetime of legendary heists, some criminals, wolf, a snake, a piranha, a shark, and a tarantula go on some sort of mission to steal something. And after that, things happen. So imagine Ocean's 11 with animated animals is the best way I could say it. Andrew, I enjoyed this movie. It's not the most unique thing you'll ever see, but it was fun. It was fast paced. The humor was pretty good. Some of the action sequences were interesting. It's not going to blow you away, but it's a good time and it doesn't overstay its welcome. So I definitely recommend it if you're a fan of animated films and you're looking for something with a little bit more adult humor in it.
This is definitely a movie that I would say wait until it comes out on streaming services. It's not really something that I feel like you should be bolting to the theater to see, but if you do have some kids laying around that are a little bit more mature, definitely go. Yeah, just pick them up by their shirt and just drag them to the theater, get them their daily dose of a movie, and it's worth it. I definitely think it's worth it. Yeah. Do you want to get into spoilers right away, or should we just talk about our thoughts first?
Yeah, let's get into spoilers. But yeah, you don't have to rush to see this, but as an adult, there are way worse animated movies you could see than this one. I think you'll enjoy taking the kids to see this. Andrew, this is basically like Ocean's 11 and Zootopia. Yeah. Some of the stuff from Zootopia feels blatantly copied and almost like they didn't want to lead into it too much. But yeah, I found all the characters really stand out given its short runtime. There's definitely potential for a franchise here. There's lots of foreshadowing. It was predictable, but also not predictable at times. It kept me on my toes. Yep. And that was actually kind of interesting. I wasn't really expecting some certain things that happened towards the end. Since we're in spoilers now, but you know,
yeah,
the double heist the double thing by the snake, you know, to have replaced that meteorite thing, and then even the wolf like having put the ice cream pop in the fridge. It's like, oh, like, you know, they had a little bit of a little twisty twist, like Ocean's 11 and 12. I enjoyed that.
I think it was very predictable as well. But we have to remember again that this is a kids movie. We have to remember that there's never gonna be anything kind of unique when it comes to this sort of thing. But I definitely think it was your typical story of like a bad guy turning good. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is like Zuko and Avatar, you know, bad guy turns good, kind of predictable. We know it's going to happen. And then like you mentioned, the double heist or whatever, it reminded me a lot of the episode in Rick and Morty when they're doing like the heist and they're always like one step ahead of you.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
Keeps going back and forth. Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned Zootopia, because one thing that I keep thinking about is I wonder what this says about my psyche, but I think Fox is going to be the next Officer Hops from Zootopia. God. I think everyone is going to be dressing up like them for Halloween.
Rule 34 stuff.
You are missing out, my dude. I've never seen it either. I've never gone down that realm, but yeah, that just my quick thoughts right away.
I know what you said. I don't think this movie's been popular enough to go down that route, but yeah, you never know with some folks
with that certain community.
Yeah, definitely. I love the animation in this movie. It wasn't like the typical DreamWorks 3D that you see. It had this touch of Into the Spider-Verse, where it had this kind of like comic booky, you know, flat dimensional geometrical style to each character, and I thought it made it really stand out and look unique. So that was, you know, a really good touch in my opinion. It's well made. It's cliche, but it's well made.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah,
I think the animation was pretty unique too. I don't know, like, there's something about that, the way that they drew all this, it just felt different. It was like at some points it felt like comic book style, and other points it didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It really caught my attention, and I loved watching it because like I kept trying to pick out like what is it about this animation that's so good.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it. I think that's what it was. Did this movie make you laugh? Because I found a few of the jokes like, oh yeah, that was actually pretty funny. Not like laugh out loud funny, but it's like, oh, that's clever. That is like, you know, something that kids might not. There wasn't like any adult references, but it was just more mature humor that I'm used to seeing for these types of movies.
Yeah, it made me laugh a couple times. You know, a couple times. Sometimes I chuckled. Sometimes I breathed hard through my nose. But I think the one joke that I keep thinking about that really made me laugh out loud was when the shark distracts the scientist and is like, oh, do you want to go play catch with your dad?
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's so good. That was good. I loved it.
And they kept going. The guy's like, Dad, I've been waiting so long. I've been waiting my whole life for this and all that. Like, but isn't that what was kind of fun about it is each character had their moments. Although I would say like the shark and the wolf and the snake a little bit more than the piranha and the tarantula. The tarantula was like barely in the movie, I feel like. But
yeah. They
all kind of like stood out and had those funny things. And it never felt like cringe kid humor in a way. It just felt like, you know, they were having fun with it. It was fast paced. You could tell where the influence was coming on. You know, even they did the whole like Mr. Wolf, like, hey, don't do the Clooney. You know, are you gonna do the Clooney? They weren't trying to hide anything with this film at all. And I think it provides a, you know, it's a good lesson to kids. It's very simple. It's been done before. But the whole like, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, and you know, even if you're bad, you can be good. But something else that like, kind of stood out to me, I don't know if they were trying to do this, but when they were asking the wolf, the guinea pig, I know he was a bad guy, but he was telling him like, hey, at some point you gotta like give up your friends. Was that saying like get rid of those like toxic influences in your life? But or I think that's what the guy was trying to say, but the movie was also saying was like don't give up on them, because that's what they did at the end with the snake.
So I think that all these kids movies have the same exact theme. It's always the you can't trust everyone that's within your inner circle.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't even trust your closest friends, or they'll turn on you on their earliest convenience. I think it also goes back to the people can always be good, especially if they want to. But a lot of people choose to be bad instead. So there's definitely a lot of the same themes that we notice in every single movie, or at least every single kid movie.
Yeah. There was that scene towards the end where all his friends are leaving the wolf. They're like, hey, you two? Like, yeah, sorry, man. I was like, oh my God, I've seen this like 100 times before. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. Are they just not good at... Like I said, there was some good twists in the film, and it's a little different in some aspects, but sometimes you just kind of think like, wow, this is just... It's kind of just lazy. It's like, can this have been anything else at certain moments? It comes together well. It's fun, but you just kind of feel like at this point with just cashing it in.
So then my question is, how many times do you think we can see the same story over and over again, just coded differently?
I think infinite amount of times. I think we've been doing this for movies have been around for like 100 years or so,
and no one will just bat an eye. People will just keep falling into it.
I think so, because even that movie, hey, they fooled me, because I'm watching this film and I'm like, oh yeah, that was fun, that was fast, that was good, some good action, you know, I enjoyed it, yeah, I had a good time with it. But then, you know, I'm not thinking too hard about it, but yeah, it has been done before. It just was done from like a perspective of bad guys, and they had a more interesting cast. So I think with kids movies, you are gonna, you know, see this thing a lot, and I think it's really what makes Pixar stand out. At least what I don't remember the last time Pixar put out like a stunner, but if you look at like Pixar's like early filmography, like that's what made Pixar so unique, was like, dude, these guys are making animated movies, but they're blowing us away with like a new theme, a new story every single time.
One thing that was really cool is that this is the director's debut of a major motion picture.
Like, oh, yeah.
He was an animator on Shrek Forever After. He was an animator on I forgot the other name of it, but he has a couple of credits to his name, and then to, you know, make this movie, good on him that it came out to be a really good one too.
Definitely. Yeah, it seems so, like the transition from working on an animated film to directing is a lot easier than obviously like live action. I feel like the animators, because they're working so hard behind the scenes, they get a much better idea of like, okay, I gotta do this and that. And then usually I feel like when they put the actual film together, because like I said, it's all animation, just kind of like directed by committee to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And I think it was definitely well directed.
So one thing I want to ask you, because like how I mentioned earlier that I think this, you know, theme of most common kids movies are, you know, some people could be good, some people could be bad. Let's get, I want to get, ask you an existential question here. What do you think about the, or an answer to the age old question? Do you think people are born good or are people born bad?
Oh, I don't believe in that stuff. I think, you know, I think people can change. I think a lot of times people are the product of their environment. So yeah.
So people are born what, blank?
Somewhat blank. I'm sure there's always going to be like genetic effects on children, whether it's related to, you know, I don't know if their parents had issues or whatever it was, but
okay.
I want to say they're born blank. You know, some kids, like I said, some babies cry a lot. Some babies don't cry a lot. So yeah, it's a good question, Andrew. But yeah, to give you the my answer, I think no. I think every kids or everyone who's born is going to be a little different, but you know, ultimately it's their environment combined with, you know, genetics, upbringing, and all that that results in who they become. And yeah, I think people can always change, definitely.
Interesting. Okay.
What about you?
Me personally, I think all people are born bad and they become good. Oh. I think that the only reason I feel that way is because that's why we have laws and rules to begin with.
Interesting.
Because they want to do bad things from the start, so we got to tell them from an early instincts. Age, like, no. Yeah.
Like the kid grabs the kid like starts, you know, smacking, you know, the table or whatever. It's like, hey, stop doing that. You know, stop crying. Stop doing that. Yeah, no, that's, I definitely didn't think about it that way.
So I just wanted to get you a little point on that. But anyways, moving on from all that, there's two points I want to make in this movie. One, a lot of guinea pigs died. 100% they died when they were being run over by the car in that last chase scene.
That was
when
the car that was like the Batman scene where the car scene, and like they just like, you know, looked past it like, yeah, no one died. You know, Penguin gets to go free. It was totally the same thing here. Like there was like a million guinea pigs up there. And yeah, rest in peace.
100%. Rest in peace. They're gone. But my second point I was going to make is that I think it's pretty obvious that we're going to get a sequel. I think they're going to just have the story of like, oh, we need you guys to do one more heist for us, and you're like the experts. It's going to happen. I feel like they're going to, that's no way.
Totally. The budget's like $80 million. It's already made $218. I don't think it has that much left in the tank, but at this point, it's turned a profit. And I think it's prime for a sequel. Like, is it going to be, you know, groundbreaking animation or like a groundbreaking story? I doubt it, but it was a fun cast. I'd watch a sequel.
Yeah, I'd watch one too. All right, so with all of that, what would you give this movie out of 5 tickets?
Andrew, I would give The Bad Guys 3.5 tickets out of 5. It's a perfectly competent and enjoyable film with some really fun moments. Made me laugh a few times, and I don't think it overstays its welcome. It's fast-paced enough. You get it over with. I'll never watch it again, but it's a little unique, and it deserves a lot of credit, I think, for some of those fun moments.
I'll give this movie also a 3.5 out of 5. I felt this movie was very predictable, but it was also super well done. It was brought into a new, refreshing light in a sort of way, and I was thoroughly entertained the whole time. I wasn't bored at all. I was pretty much captivated all the way through, and it's well deserving of its hype and of its rating so far.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. If you have time on streaming, it's out there. You got nothing else to do. Definitely catch it.
Definitely. Well, okay, with that, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us on another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. Santi, tell them what we're going to be talking about next week.
That's right. Everyone knows everyone's favorite dinosaurs are coming back with all the cast and crew pretty much from the original. We're going to be covering Jurassic World Dominion on next week's podcast. Check us out on Instagram we'll be talking a short reel about Jurassic Park, how it's aged, our thoughts on the movie in order to get us hyped for this kind of wrap up, the final movie in this Jurassic World trilogy. I'm sure they'll reboot it someday and bring everything back, but this is the last one, apparently, with Chris Pratt.
Interesting. I did not know about that, but we can't wait to talk about it with you guys. Make sure to catch the movie in theaters this weekend and come back to hear our thoughts. Can't wait to see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you next week. You feel it all right.